Yamunatiravanachari. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tiravanachari. Yamuna Tiravanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Jaya Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivrajakacharya Ashtotarastarashat. His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishwapad Paramahansa Parivrajakacharya Ashtotarastarashat. His Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityam. Naram Chaiva Narotamam. Devim Saraswatim Vyasam. Tato Jaya Mudiraye. Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavati Uttama Shloke. Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. Reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, chapter 29, text number 17. Yavat sarveshu bhuteshu madbhavo nopajayate tavad evam upasitta vanmanakaya vrittibhi. Yavat sarveshu bhuteshu madbhavo nopajayate tavad evam upasita vanmanakaya vrittibhi. Yavat sarveshu bhuteshu madbhavo nopajayate tavad evam upasita vanmanakaya vrittibhi. Vanmanakaya vrittibhi. Yavat sarveshu bhuteshu madbhavo nopajayate tavadevam upasita manvanakaya vrittibhi. Yavat sarveshu bhuteshu madbhavo nopajayate vanmanakaya vrittibhi. Yavat sarvestu bhuteshu madbhavo nopajayate tavadevam upasita vanmanakaya vrittibhi. Word to word translation. Yavat, as long as. Sarveshu, in all. Bhuteshu, living entities. Mat bhavaha, the vision of my presence. Na upajayate, does not fully develop. Tavat, for that long. Evam, in this way. Upasita, one must worship. Vak, of his speech. Manaha, mind. Kaya, and body. Vrittibhi, by the functions. Translations and purport by the servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Until one has fully developed the ability to see me within all living beings, one must continue to worship me by this process, with the activities of his speech, mind, and body. Purport. Until one fully realizes the Supreme Lord within all beings, he should continue the process of offering obeisances to all creatures. Although one may not be able to factually fall on the ground before all creatures, at least within his mind or by his words, one should offer respect to all living beings. This will accelerate the devotee's self-realization. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Beshtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale స్వయం రూపా కదా మయ్యాం తదాతి స్వాపదాంతికం. వందేహం శ్రీగురో శ్రీయుతా పదకమలం శ్రీగురుం వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపాం సాగరజాతాం సగణా రఘునాథాన్వితాం తాం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావదూతాం పరిజనా సహితాం కృష్ణ చైతన్య దేవాం శ్రీరాధా కృష్ణ పదాం సగణాలలితాం శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితం చ. హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగత్పతే గోపీశ గోపికా కాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే. తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరి ప్రియే. వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్యైవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. జై శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాదర్ శ్రీవాసది గౌర భక్త వృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామో హరే రామో రామ రామో హరే హరే. The translation once again: until one has fully developed the ability to see me within all living beings, one must continue to worship me by this process with the activities of his speech, mind and body. So we are discussing over here this chapter entitled Bhakti Yoga, the instructions from Lord Krishna to Uddhava. And the culmination of these instructions is resulting in the Lord teaching the principles of Bhakti Yoga to Uddhava and through Uddhava to us. So here in this particular verse we are seeing, which is actually connected to the previous verse. So the Lord is saying that we have to actually see Himself, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in every living entity. And being in the Vaishnav Sampradaya, actually we are very fortunate to have this knowledge right from the beginning through the teachings of Srila Prabhupada, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead resides in every living entity, whether he is a small virus like this COVID virus that we have today, which is causing so much of anxiety in the minds of people, or a huge blue whale, which is the largest living entity in this material creation. So each and every one of these living entities has the Supreme Personality of Godhead residing within it. And consequent to that, we are taught that we have to look at every living entity as worshipable and not to take advantage of that entity's position in this material world and try to see how we can use that entity to facilitate our sense gratification, whether it is through eating or whether it is through exploiting that particular living entity. So a Vaishnava is taught that he has to actually respect every living entity. So taking a cue from the purport that was in yesterday's verse, although we understand that every living entity is to be given the highest respect by us, still, in the purport yesterday, it was mentioned that the devotee does not foolishly think that a cow or an ass is God, but rather the devotee sees the Supreme Lord within all creatures, and on this higher spiritual plane, he does not discriminate. So we'll use this as the theme for today's discussion. So the Srimad Bhagavatam teaches us that even if we come to the level of worshipping the demigods, still, we are not achieving the purpose of this human form of life. The purpose of this human form of life is to understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and worship only Krishna. So although we are looking at every living entity, including a demigod, with full respect and even to the extent of adoration, still, when it comes to worship, there is only one personality that will worship. That is Lord Sri Krishna. But we see in this material world that this particular knowledge is actually given to very few people. In fact, Lord Krishna himself says in the Bhagavad Gita, Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschit yatati siddhaye, yatatam api siddhanam kaschit mambeti tatvataha. This knowledge is not meant for everybody. Understanding that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not something that everybody either has the ability to comprehend or even the ability to apply in his life. So it's very few people who are given this knowledge. So majority of the people will find they are actually worshipping the demigods. And what is the purpose of worshipping the demigods? It is for getting material benedictions which will facilitate their sense gratification in this material world. So this is what is going on. And even to the extent of a personality like Hiranyakashipu, who actually, if you understand the personality of Hiranyakashipu, you will see that he was not an ordinary jiva, right, out in the material world trying to just gratify his senses. He was actually a very elevated personality who had a full understanding of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. So, in fact, when his brother was killed by Lord Varahadev, and he was called upon to actually console both his mother as well as his sister-in-law, Diti and Rishabhanu. So we see over here in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, Hiranyakashipu is actually giving the highest Siddhanta, the highest philosophy, you know, in order to placate or in order to, you know, appease Diti and his sister-in-law. We see that Hiranyakashipu actually narrates what we have today, practically the journey of self-discovery course, right? So he tells Diti and his sister-in-law that actually, you know, this material body is made up of temporary elements which is going to perish in any case. And what are you crying over, you know, the death of your son or your death of your husband? He has gone to a higher destination or he's gone to a different destination. There's no point in crying over him. And in order to drive home the point, Hiranyakashipu actually narrates several stories. And one of the stories was about this king, Suyagya, who was a king of a place called Ushinara, who was actually killed in the battle, and his family members, his wives, were all crying over there and wailing, and to such an extent that Yamaraj actually decided to take the form of a small boy and come over there and preach the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. This is being narrated by Hiranyakashipu. So in fact, actually we see with all these analogies, what is it that is Hiranyakashipu is actually giving? He is giving a Bhagavatam class, right? So any speaker who gives Bhagavatam class, you know, narrates some part of the philosophy of Srimad Bhagavatam, and along with that he gives so many analogies just to, in order to drive home the point that, you know, this is what is the actual philosophy, and by that the philosophy is understood by the listener. So I remember the time when I just moved in over here 15 years back to the temple, and I was given the service of handling the finances of the temple. So I thought it is appropriate that I should go and take the blessings of my spiritual master. Of course, Maharaj knew that we were moving in. So I went to Maharaj in his room and told Maharaj, "Maharaj, we have shifted, and do you have any instructions for me?" And so Maharaj told me, "Yeah, come, sit." And those are the days when Maharaj had all the time. It was before the Govardhan Eco Village. So Maharaj had all the time. So I sat over there, and then Maharaj actually gave me a Bhagavatam class. So he said, "Krishnanam, now that you have moved," and I was thinking to my mind, you know, that what is it that Maharaj is going to tell me? Now all these thoughts are going in my mind before I actually came before Maharaj. And I'm thinking, what is it that Maharaj will tell me? "Oh, now that you have moved to the temple, Krishnanam, you can look after the finances very nicely. You can spend maximum time, you know, ensuring that the temple is managed properly, you know, finances are taken care, we can get more and more donations." All these thoughts are going in my mind. So anyway, when I sat before Maharaj, Maharaj said, "So Krishnam, now that you know you're moved in over here, let me tell you a few things." He said that you have this unique opportunity to attend the full morning program of Radha Gopinath. So let this not come in any way, or let nothing come in the way of doing this particular aspect of your service. So I want to see you as much as possible attending the morning program in the temple, and ask Srila Prabhupada, and then Maharaj gave me, you know, what is it that Prabhupada actually had set up for ISKCON. Right from the time that Srila Prabhupada set up ISKCON, what is it that he made compulsory for all of us? He made the morning program compulsory, and he made the evening program compulsory. And what you did in between was actually a matter of detail. Right? Detail in what sense? That you could be a temple president, you could be a pujari, you could be a person who's cleaning the toilet, you could be a cook. You could have so many roles and responsibilities depending on your particular, you know, varna. And you are expected to do that to the best of your ability. There is nothing that is going to be held against you for doing whatever you are doing to the best of your ability. And we see the way ISKCON has grown, that people, it is not that, you know, people who were qualified to do a particular job did a particular job. Right? It was just that person was available, he was enthusiastic, he wanted to serve Srila Prabhupada, he wanted to serve the deities, and he was put into a particular service. And gradually, over a period of time, if that person had a particular propensity, then the authorities tried to engage him as per that particular propensity so that he could do his service very nicely. So that was how ISKCON evolved. It was not that there were a bunch of individuals who were extremely qualified for their particular posts, like, you know, we had super excellent pujaris, or we had super excellent temple presidents, or super excellent book distributors. No. These people became super excellent just by virtue of the fact that they were doing the service. Now, this is Radhana Swami giving me a Bhagavatam class. So this is the people who were given that particular service, and over a period of time, just because they were dedicated, just because they were enthusiastic, Krishna empowered them to take on such major responsibilities. Right? And we see over here in Srila Prabhupada's movement, we have, you know, virtually institutions who have been rendering service in Srila Prabhupada's mission for the last 50 years. You know, Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj or Jayapataka Swami. You know, I mean, this people have become virtually institutions within the institution of Srila Prabhupada, ISKCON. And it is not that when they joined the ISKCON movement, they were institutions. No, it was just that they were empowered by Srila Prabhupada to take on that particular role, and they achieved a huge amount of success in their service to Srila Prabhupada. Right? And what was their job description? So Maharaj is telling me the job description was to come and be there before the deities at 4:30 in the morning, and be there in the temple right up to 9 o'clock or 9:15, whatever time it takes, in order to finish the Bhagavatam class. And then after that, they would have some prasadam, and then they would go and do their services. And then again, they would come in the evening to the temple for the Bhagavad Gita class. So Maharaj said, "This is your first service, and this is the most important service." And then, you know, Maharaj asked me, "So by the way, what service are you supposed to be doing?" And I knew that Maharaj knew that I was supposed to be looking after the finances, but Maharaj asked. And then for a moment, I was just feeling like this, our Brahmaji who went to, you know, Vaikuntha, and then he saw all this. So I'm feeling like this Brahma, you know, I'm thinking to myself that Maharaj knows what service I'm supposed to be doing, but why is he asking me this question? So there was a reason why he was asking me the question. Because in Maharaj's eyes, that particular service that you're doing is actually insignificant. You're doing that service. Fine. Do it to the best of your ability. Then I told Maharaj, "Maharaj, I'm going to be, you know, in the finance department." And then Maharaj said further that, "Let me tell you one thing, Krishna. During the course of this service that you're going to be doing, there are going to be a lot of problems. You're going to be encountering people who will misunderstand you. There will be people who will actually be envious of whatever you're doing. And you yourself will make mistakes. And sometimes the mistakes will be so big that sometimes you may be just removed from your service.
But if you do this first part of your service nicely, attending the whole morning program in the temple, let me tell you that you will not get disturbed by whatever comes in the way of your other services. So this was a huge learning experience for me, because, you know, coming from a materialistic background, we always think that whatever we do in terms of our services, you know, either as accountants or book distributors or pujaris or whatever, is what actually pleases Srila Prabhupada and Krishna. So a completely different perspective has been given, that Srila Prabhupada set up this whole institution of ISKCON just so that we can have this morning program and evening program. And if we attend that, that is actually what makes Krishna pleased. Because our material abilities to do a particular service is extremely limited. What is our qualification? What is our ability? And what all we can manage? How much can we manage? And how much successful will we actually be in the process of doing that particular service? And for sure, when you're dealing with material nature, when you're dealing with devotees in a material way, managing resources, there is going to be conflict. There is going to be difference of opinion. There is going to be misunderstanding. That is going to be a part and parcel of the service that you're going to be doing. And of course, you have to continue to do that service, because that's a service that you have been entrusted upon to do by your authorities. But we have to have that particular understanding that this service is going to be filled with a lot of problems. But what is that service which is not going to have any problem? Definitely the morning program. At the most, we'll come over here during japa session, we'll sleep. Right? All of us do that. Or during Bhagavatam class, we'll sleep. All of us do that. So what? But the mere fact that we're actually sitting in the temple hall doing this particular activity pleases Krishna, because as Sadvaj Prabhu was so elaborately explaining in the class that day, Krishna is so munificent that he looks at every small thing that we are doing. It may not be significant. And then, you know, after this particular, this is connected to this particular theme. So, after a few years, I started doing this particular service in Mayapur. So, I used to go to Mayapur like 10 days a month. Initially, it was 15 days, then it became 10, and gradually, you know, so I did this service for almost 7 years. Every month, I would go to Mayapur. And there was only one thing that I would really look forward to go to Mayapur for. Right? Of course, we have Panchatattva, we have Radha Madhav, but what is the other thing that I was really looking forward to? I used to look forward to go to Mayapur because I knew I could get the association of Pankajangri Prabhu and Jaranivas Prabhu. And what is it about these two divine personalities that really attracted my heart? It was the simplicity. It was just the fact that they were trying to do the services to the best of their abilities, right? But along the way, they were inspiring so many devotees to perform devotional service, pure devotional service. Never was there a day, whether it was summer or winter or whichever, there are actually only two seasons in Mayapur, summer and winter. So any day, every day, you would see these two brothers there for Mangalarti. And irrespective of who is the speaker who is going to be speaking during the Bhagavatam class, you would find these two brothers sitting over there with the Bhagavatam in their hand. And not only that, in the evening when there is a Bhagavad Gita class that is going on, which sometimes used to happen in Bengali, you would find that these two brothers are sitting over there not understanding a word of Bengali. They may be understanding a few words. But actually what the speaker is speaking is something that might be, you know, for in all probability going over their heads, but they are actually sitting over there physically in the Bhagavatam class. And when you interact with them, they have all the time in the world for you. Right? So after the morning program, you could just, you know, you catch hold of Jananivas Prabhu, and then you walk with him to his room, and then he has his prasadam, and then you are talking to him. And he is in absolutely no hurry. I mean, he is a head pujari of the most important temple of ISKCON in the world. So you can imagine what would be the amount of responsibility from a managerial perspective that he has on his head. But when a devotee goes to him, he has all the time in the world. You can spend time with him, talking to him, and you know, just ask him to tell some Krishna Katha, and he'll tell you some Krishna Katha. And he will never tell you, Prabhuji, your time is up, come on, now I have to go on to my service. You can sit over there as long as you want. And then finally it is you who is telling him, Prabhuji, thank you so much, I've taken so much of your time. Invariably they'll say, no, you know, we are looking forward to you coming, come, please come next time. And so this is Vaishnavas who really, you know, lead such a simple life that they have, you know, nothing but service to devotees, service to, you know, to the deities. And the managerial part of, you know, their particular service, yes, it gets taken care of. Who takes care of it? It's not that they are taking care of it. Krishna is taking care of it. They are just being instruments in their particular service. I remember the time once, Radhanath Swami was leaving for America, and this was about 10-12 years back. And I had a few things that I needed Maharaj's decision upon. So I made a list of it, and I waited outside his door, and there were so many devotees who were coming and meeting him and, you know, wishing him goodbye and happy journey and all that. And then so Maharaj was sitting over there very peacefully, and then finally, you know, just about half an hour towards the time of his departure, he signaled to me, he said, come over. And then I went and sat over. And then I started explaining to him, you know, whatever. I just about started, and all of a sudden, Braj Bihari Prabhu, you know, our devotee from Burijan Prabhu's disciple, very senior devotee, he's a minister for communication, I don't know which, some very senior post he holds in ISKCON. So he just walked in. And you should see Maharaj getting up from his seat and, you know, embracing him and telling him, please come. Now Maharaj has got just half an hour to leave, and, you know, he's catching a flight to go to America. Right? And I have a whole load of things to discuss with him and get his, you know, decision upon. And I'm in anxiety. Maharaj is in no anxiety. Right, he's just sitting over there and chit-chatting with Braj Bihari Prabhu, asking him about his family and about his service and, you know, how is Vrindavan. And, you know, Braj Bihari Prabhu those days used to live in Vrindavan. So how is Vrindavan? And, you know, till the point of time, Braj Bihari Prabhu sort of sensed that, you know, from my body language that I was in a hurry to discuss something. Oh, I'm so sorry, Maharaj, I interrupted you. And he exited. And then I had just about 5 minutes, and then, you know, I went through one, and then Maharaj said, I'm sorry, I don't have time for any of this. You just write me an email, and, you know, at some point in time, I'll reply. And of course, but what I could understand from this whole interaction is, what is the value that is given by a personality like Maharaj for the so-called mundane managerial things? Of course, if he didn't have Braj Bihari Prabhu coming and, you know, walking into his room and, you know, asking for his time, he would have obviously given me the time and we would have sat together and, you know, gone through all the items one by one. But because Braj Bihari Prabhu came in over there, Maharaj made it known to Braj Bihari Prabhu that I have all the time in the world for you. Right? So this is what Krishna consciousness does to us. You know, it gives us the understanding that what is more important? Is it devotees who are more important? Is it your service that is more important? Is it the deities that are more important? This understanding is given to us by the process of Krishna consciousness. Because if you are not in that particular consciousness, we'll become like Hiranyakashipu, understanding the entire philosophy, having a complete knowledge of what is Krishna consciousness, and yet when it comes to his own personal life, he wants to be the controller of this entire universe. And in order to achieve that particular post, what is the extent of tapasya that Hiranyakashipu did? It's unbelievable. Impossible for anyone to ever perform that tapasya. Right? We would all die if we were to perform that tapasya even for one day. You know, standing on one toe, looking up at the sky, at the sun, you know, with our hands raised up. Even for one day, 1 hour, if we do it, we'll collapse. But Hiranyakashipu did this for 100 celestial years. That is not a small span of time. And all for what? Just to get for himself tremendous amount of anxiety. Right? Hiranyakashipu was not a happy person when he got all these boons that he got from Lord Brahma. He was super sad. He was super anxious. Pathetic situation. Right? And this is invariably the position of people who have immense amount of wealth. It's not that they are happy. They are sad. They are miserable. There's always people wanting to take away their wealth. There's always people who are coming and standing at their doorsteps begging them for money to such an extent that, you know, this person gets so disgusted. Says, why the hell do I have so much money? People are only wanting my association for my money. There is not a single person who actually is coming into his association because of him as a person. They couldn't care less whether this person was happy or not. How can he facilitate my sense gratification? How can he help me get me some money of his? This is what people are meditating upon about every person who has got money in this material world. For sure. Without exception. Right? So why do we see that these people who have got so much of money, so much of fame, so much of power, why are they in so much of anxiety? Why are they are the ones who are taking the maximum anti-depression pills, going to the shrink every alternate day, paying a huge amount of money in order to just sit on that couch and listen to for their problems. So Hiranyakashipu, although he had everything, he had nothing. So this is a true understanding of how we need to understand the position of the demigods. Because at the most, the demigods can give you all this, whatever Brahmaji gave to Hiranyakashipu, nothing more. But what can we get from Krishna? This is something that is inconceivable. We can't even imagine. Ah, Brahma Bhuvana Loka Punaravartino Arjuna Mamupetya to Kauntya Punarjanmana Vidyate. Right from Brahma Loka to Patal Loka, we understand a place of misery. Although Brahma Loka is a place which we can't even conceive how opulent it is. I mean, we hear descriptions of Swarga Loka, right? Planet of Indra, and we see so many movies where Indraji is sitting on his, you know, asan, and he has all these apsaras come in front of him and dance, and he's having, you know, some beverages. So this is what we understand of the limit of material opulence. But Brahmaji's abode, Brahmaloka, is something far superior. What about the lifespan? Brahmaji lives for 311 trillion 40 billion years, which for us is again inconceivable. I don't know how many zeros are there in a trillion. Right? Maybe there's somebody over here who knows how many zeros are there in a trillion. I don't. So that's the lifespan of Brahmaji. But still, Brahmaji has to die. So the demigods can give us only a certain amount of material benedictions, which, as I said, again, is going to make you miserable. But Krishna can give you residence in Golok Vrindavan. We know this beautiful story of Gop Kumar, right? So this entire Bhagavatamrit, the three volumes, have been written just for us to understand what is the journey that Gop Kumar undertook in order to reach Golok Vrindavan. So many personalities he met, so many lokas he saw. But each of these places, he was not happy. He was not satisfied. He was seeing that there is something missing. Even to the extent that when he went to Dwaraka and he saw Krishna over there in his opulence, he was not satisfied. He said, I don't feel happy over here. And finally, when he lands up on the doors of Goloka and he sees Lord Krishna standing over there in the distance playing with his friends, and Gop Kumar just stands over there not knowing what to do. And Krishna, when he sees Gop Kumar, Krishna comes all the way running towards Gop Kumar and embraces him. So this beautiful picture that has been captured, you know, by some devotee, you know, where Krishna embraces Gop Kumar. And Krishna is telling Gop Kumar, I've been waiting for you for so many lifetimes. I've been eagerly waiting for you. And Krishna is shedding tears. Gop Kumar is shedding tears. Isn't that a reception that each of us would want to get? It is. And that is available to us from the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam. If we apply the principles of Srimad Bhagavatam in our life, irrespective of what our condition is, what our material condition is, how contaminated we are in our consciousness, if we just hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, just by hearing the Bhagavatam every day, right? From the person who is sitting over here, irrespective of what his abilities are to speak the Bhagavatam. Because that is what we are looking at, is the material ability. Right? The person who is sitting over here is a representative of Sukadev Goswami, Vedavyas. He is sitting over here and speaking the Srimad Bhagavatam. So why should we look at whether he is having that physical ability to deliver a very powerful class which is mesmerizing, which, you know, keeps all the audience enthralled, which keeps them awake? Why should we look at those things? If we look at him as a representative of Vedavyas that is actually giving Bhagavatam class, then you will see that it really doesn't matter who he is. Because he is actually narrating everything from Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? So, we are all very fortunate to be part of this glorious movement of Srila Prabhupada, giving us this opportunity, and particularly in this lockdown situation, with very few devotees, you know, sometimes, you know, just being with a few devotees is very enriching, very pleasing to the heart, right? That's why we go on the small yatras to different holy places with a small group of people. Going with a large group of 7,000, 8,000 to Vrindavan Dham and hearing Katha is also a wonderful experience. But sometimes, you know, just having a few devotees together, you know, you get up in the morning on a Sunday and you know that there are not going to be so many devotees steaming over here all over the place. So it's a different experience, right? But it's an opportunity for us to, in our own way, practice our Krishna consciousness. Like all the devotees outside are doing. So there are grihasthas who are tuning into so many Bhagavatam classes, right? So they are, for all practical purposes, in Radha Gopinath temple, right? Having darshan of the deities, right? So we have our Parampurush Prabhu, Chandanani. Every day in the morning at 5 o'clock sharp, he's tuned into Mangalarti darshan. Right? Whether we are here for darshan or not, he's tuned in. Right? And he calls me, you know, like when I do aarti, he calls me in the morning and tells me, Prabhuji, I saw you doing aarti. So it means that he's actually watching Mangalarti. He doesn't know which day I do aarti, but he's there every day watching Mangalarti on his laptop. Right? So that is the amount of separation they are feeling from Radha Gopinath. So how much we should be taking this opportunity that is given to us by Gopinath to come over here every day, irrespective of whether it's lockdown, no lockdown. I don't do it myself. Please, I seek forgiveness. I'm just stating what Srila Prabhupada wanted us to do. It's not that I'm following all these rules and regulations. But the thing is that Srila Prabhupada has given us the highest Siddhanta. He's given us the highest philosophy. Right? And Srila Prabhupada never holds us to ransom as to what, whether we are following that philosophy 100% or not. He's so magnanimous. How can there be somebody more magnanimous than Srila Prabhupada? Right? So we know this pastime of Yamuna Devi cooking in Srila Prabhupada's, in Lord Krishna's kitchen. And this were the initial days of ISKCON where nobody had any idea of, you know, four regulative principles or anything. And Yamuna Devi is in the middle of the cooking and suddenly she tells Prabhupada that, Prabhupada, I need to smoke a cigarette. Can you even imagine such a thing happening today? And Srila Prabhupada says, yeah, that's all right. You can go and smoke your cigarette, but come back after washing your hands. And Shamsundar Prabhu is carving Lord Jagannath, and then we have the cigarette packet. Srila Prabhupada walks in, he sees a cigarette packet on Lord Jagannath's head, and then he tells Shamsundar, why are you keeping a cigarette between you and Krishna? And Srila Prabhupada is telling him, no, you don't have to give up the whole thing immediately. Do it gradually. Reduce one cigarette at a time. Compassion of Srila Prabhupada upon all of us. And that compassion is there. You know, he's so kind that it is not that he is judging us. He doesn't judge us for what we are doing, what our abilities are, what we are capable of doing. He doesn't judge us. Absolutely not. He's our father, grandfather. Right? And same thing holds with our father. No judgments, no expectations. Just follow the rules to the best of your ability and Krishna will be pleased. And it was so reassuring to me when I heard Sadguruji Prabhu gave the class that day, you know, saying that every small thing Krishna is looking upon you doing whatever you are doing and he feels so happy. It's not that it has to be a big thing. It's not that you have to collect $1 billion. Even if you put 1 rupee in the hundi, Krishna is seeing that you are putting 1 rupee in the hundi and he's so happy. So it's so reassuring when you hear a Bhagavatam class like that and then you think to yourself, oh my God, yes, Krishna is so magnanimous. Krishna is so kind. Krishna is so warm-hearted. Krishna is so forgiving. I may make millions of mistakes. And we do, all the time. We are not kind to Vaishnavas. We are not following the four regulative principles strictly. We are, you know, not chanting our rounds attentively. Every day, we are practically doing something or the other, which may be displeasing to Krishna. But is Krishna displeased? No, Krishna is just seeing the effort that you are putting in. You're chanting your 16 rounds to the best of your ability, he's happy. Right. So it's really reassuring to know that, you know, Krishna, through his representatives, Prabhupada, our spiritual master, they're not judgmental. And similarly, we are also not expected to be judgmental about other Vaishnavas who are practicing Krishna consciousness to the best of their ability. Right? Who are we to be judgmental? We have millions of faults within ourselves, so how can we even look at a single fault in others? Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he's teaching us. Right? So when we do that, then we can be rest assured that this community really becomes a community of Vaishnavas that we want to be forever a part of. Never ever want to leave this community of devotees. Irrespective of what happens, whatever people tell us, whatever, however they may criticize us, we don't want to leave this association of devotees because I'm getting so much of happiness being over here. This is the process of Krishna consciousness that Srila Prabhupada has taught us, and we are so fortunate to be following this process to the best of our ability. And thank you very much. I might have spoken something which is beyond my realization. Please forgive me. And I'm intensely grateful to be here during this very intense period of the lockdown. Right? I'm one of those grahasthas or whatever you may call, allowed to be here, right, and associate with all of you. So I'm intensely grateful to all of you for allowing us to do so and be here at this time. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.